This is One Dude's Guide to Being Bipolar, How to Stay the Hell Out of Grippy Socks Jail, Achieve Anyways, and Abide Always, written and narrated by Arch Grieve, dedicated to my future bride, Jay, who is my inspiration, my joy, and my peace. Chapter 1. Sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes, why the bar, he eats you. Living with bipolar disorder. It seems like these days everyone wants to say that they are bipolar, or they love to call other people bipolar when it seems like they're changing up their moods all of a sudden. What these self-deprecating labels and insults have in common is that they both fail to understand that everyone goes from one pole to another in various levels of extremity. That's just the range of human emotions and what we call life. The issue for those of us who suffer from bipolar disorder is that we cycle through these moods largely independent from environmental factors, and we often ride these moods to their extremes of ending up in the hospital on the mania end or unaliving ourselves on the depression side of things. We aren't just moody, and sometimes you might not have a clue as to where we are on the spectrum. Hell, sometimes we don't even have a clue where we are. More on that in Chapter 10. If you picked up this book because you or someone you know suffers from bipolar disorder 1 or 2, congratulations. You're doing more to manage your care or be there for a friend or loved one than many people who suffer from this illness, and I think that's far out, dude. I have been diagnosed on 2 separate occasions with bipolar 1, an illness characterized by very high highs and brutally low lows. They used to call it manic depression, which I liked more, in part because it was at least descriptive. Bipolar tells you nothing about what you experience at those 2 poles of the spectrum, whereas being a manic depressive at least gives you a bit of a preview of what to expect. Sorry, I mean being someone who has manic depression. I mean, sorry, being someone who has bipolar 1. There, that's what my therapist would like for me to tell you. I've gone through quite a few of them in a relatively short period of time. More on that later. But almost all of them have told me that I'm not a bipolar person. I'm someone who suffers from bipolar disorder. It's an illness, they like to say, not who you are. But I don't have any bipolar therapists either. It's hard to explain to someone who doesn't suffer from it just how all-encompassing the illness is and how it feels much more like who you are than it does something you suffer from. I remember one time telling my therapist that I couldn't tell if my indignant reaction to a group of friends of mine was justified or not, or if I was just overreacting, or if it was just because I was manic. Her response kind of shook me. People who suffer from bipolar disorder always have trouble dealing with regular human emotions because your emotions are all over the spectrum so often, and you can never trust yourself to tell for sure which of them are coming from the illness and which of them are just normal human emotions that everyone experiences. Oof. And they wonder why I just cut out the middleman and label myself bipolar. Now, there are a lot of reasons why I would never let my therapist write a foreword to this book, but chief among them is that they know what I actually do in real life. But my hope is not only that you'll take my advice here, but that I'll take my advice as well. If absolutely nothing comes of this book, no one buys it, and it succeeds only in helping me remember what I should do when I'm manic or depressed, it will be very useful. If it helps anyone struggling with how to cope with a mental illness that causes many to go on disability or to roam the streets without a home or even kill themselves, it will have been well worth it. If you buy it, that's just icing on the cake. But going back to the whole bipolar as an identity thing, there's also always been something about wanting to separate the person from the illness that always struck me as a bit ableist. I remember eating lunch with a friend of mine who had a son who suffered from the disease and knew how the disease I suffered from warped my mind. And he was very nice and all, and I learned a lot from him, but I also heard loud and clear, and not just from him, but from every therapist I've ever had and nearly all my non-bipolar friends, that it's definitely an abnormal condition that is not something to be celebrated. It's something to be ashamed of, hidden away, or at most acknowledged as an affliction, but never valued or appreciated. And that's true in spite of the fact that there are tons of famous bipolar people who have shaped our world, both for good and for evil, obviously, but I digress, and had an outsized impact on their time and place. Many of them continue to do so. And whether you want to or not, you will hear from us, and we will change your world. Sometimes we'll make it better, but that's certainly not always the case. And we may need to be dragged, kicking and screaming to a care provider when you try to get us the help we need, but we'll probably love you harder than the other people in your lives do too. But man, if you try and fuck us in the ass, or even just step over the line, then we're coming for you, or at least angrily shouting at you to shut the fuck up, Donnie. Just ask fellow bipolar person Buzz Aldrin. He may have been one of only a dozen people ever to see our world from the vantage point of the moon, but you pick a fight with him in a random Hollywood hotel under false pretenses and he'll punch you right in the fucking face. But what would the world be without a single Carrie Fisher movie, or a Selena Gomez song, or a Kurt Vonnegut Jr.?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?